So he's using that to fill in the holes and reduce state aid. That's problematic long term for us, because there's a cliff at the end of this if the New York State economy doesn't kick in and state revenues don't increase.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we talk about state and local funding with Bob Schneider, Executive Director of the New York State School Boards Association. This week, Governor Andrew Cuomo released a state spending plan for this year, but it's really two plans, one with federal aid, one without. We talked about the budget, COVID, and much more, but we started by talking about the change in federal administrations after Joe Biden became the 46th president.
Well, I think it is a good sign, not from a political standpoint, but we have potentially a Secretary of Education who has an extensive public education background. So if he does get through and they accept him as the next Secretary of Education, he was a teacher, superintendent, worked his way up, commissioner of the Connecticut Education Department. So I think that's going to be helpful for us versus the previous education secretary, who's more focused on things that really we felt might have been not good for the public education sector, privatization, that type of thing, charter schools and things like that. So I think from a public education standpoint, it'll be helpful if Mr. Cardona gets that position. And also, you know, we have Joe Biden in place with his wife, Jill, who has an education background. But once again, not political. I just think we have people maybe more focused in on public education overall.
He comes from next door Connecticut. Have you ever had dealings with him in any way?
I have not. We do have a good connection with the Connecticut School Boards Association, so hopefully we can leverage that to talk to them about important federal education issues in the future. No guarantee, but that'd be great to get in front of them, and maybe we can help solve some problems in the public education arena. There's a lot of good things in public education, but there's some things we need to focus in on.
Do you have any idea of how the insurrection in Washington, January 6th, and then a couple weeks later, the inauguration of a new president, how that was taught in schools in New York State? What was, the advice that people got about how to talk about this issue with young children?
I do not have an answer for that. We did hear early on some teachers were concerned they didn't know how to teach that particular scenario because it was so shocking. But there is civics curriculum, the constitutional education, that type of thing. It's in the curriculum. I think we could potentially look at that closer and try to ensure that down the road this might not happen again, because obviously a lot of people that went into that Capitol building, not the peaceful protesters, the ones that went in, were products of public education. So we need to look at that a little closer. But I'd heard early on that teachers were a little stunned by it also. But I'm sure over the past few weeks they've gotten a handle on it. But I don't have any specifics for you.
Okay, let's talk about New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's budget plan. He released effectively two different plans, one that's based on New York State getting some sort of federal aid, and one where New York doesn't get the $15 billion he's seeking. What is your organization's reaction to the plan?
Well, the reaction is, in uncertain times, naturally, the governor had to put an uncertain budget proposal out there. He gave us the best case and worst case, as you stated, $15 billion federal aid for the entire state would be very good to have, but he has to be conservative in his budgeting. So he did the $6 billion federal aid payment to New York, anticipating that. And that's a worst-case scenario because what that does, in essence, is it fills the gaps in reduction in state aid, because the governor is saying we don't have enough revenue on the state side, so we're going to have to cut state aid to school districts specifically as one part of that budget. So therefore, the federal stimulus money, the $6 billion, and the federal stimulus money, by the way, that was approved in December can be used next year. So he's using that to fill in the holes and reduce state aid. That's problematic long term for us, because there's a cliff at the end of this if the New York State economy doesn't kick in and state revenues don't increase. Our schools could be facing a large reduction in state aid in out years, and we're concerned about that specifically as far as relying on the federal stimulus.
When you say long term, what do you mean? I mean, are we going to see the potential for some serious cuts, as soon as the next school year in September? I know
20. I would say 22, 23 that year. I'm sorry, 21, 22, because the federal stimulus, like I said, the $4 billion we were going to receive, which was approved in December, and then this additional federal stimulus can be moved forward. So it's a few years down the road.
If New York doesn't get that full $15 billion and, mm-hmm. Gets something in between, what happens to school districts in the meantime?
Well, what we see is what we liked about the budget is we did see that there was a maintenance of prior year spending with this federal stimulus, where the pre-kindergarten, the after-school programs, and the early college, high school, and PTEC programs totaling $1.1 billion, that is consistent. The funding will be kept at that same level from the prior year, so that's good news. We saw transportation reimbursement as part of the $4 billion from December, where non-traditional transportation expenses are going to be reimbursed based on the pandemic issue, as far as delivering school meals, offering Wi-Fi with buses, and delivering instructional materials. And we like the affordable broadband language he had in his presentation and in the budget, where we know there's a digital divide. We know there's a lot of students that don't have acceptable internet, high-speed internet, or other technological supports available to them. So we did like that as far as him putting that in the budget. We need to get every student having acceptable broadband internet speed so they can learn in the new environment, which will always include remote and in-person. We see that school districts have pivoted nicely now, and it's starting to work, the remote side of the equation. They're leveraging all the softwares that aid them in teaching them. We see a lot of synchronous classrooms now, where the ones in the class and the ones who are home doing remote are learning together as a class. So we do like the fact that he's focused on affordable broadband for the most at-risk students in the state. And, of course, the SALT deduction, we're all for that. He is going to call on Congress to repeal that SALT cap, which is very it's not a good thing for New York State. We know that. It's been in place for over 4 years now, and that really needs to get taken off the books federally. It hurt New York significantly, being kind of a double taxation because of the cap in your taxes as far as taxes paid for real estate and income tax.
How did that hurt school districts specifically?
Well, I think it's a long-term issue where, as far as purchasing, moving into New York or purchasing property, you don't have that tax advantage when you do that. A lot of people buy houses because they can itemize and they can keep their income and, obviously spend it elsewhere versus pay taxes. So, a young couple going out, looking at neighborhoods and things like that, that SALT tax, not having that additional amount to deduct on your tax return, might cause a decision to go somewhere else or not purchase a house. So long term, it could impact us significantly.
Let's get back to the question of technology briefly. You were talking about how the schools had to quickly pivot because of the pandemic. I'm wondering if level funding, even if there's a happy ending from the federal government here and New York gets the dollar amount it's seeking, a lot of these schools had to retrofit buildings and, take on some capital costs and so on to teach during a pandemic that might go above and beyond what the original budget plan was. So what happens to
Absolutely.
Those places?
Well, it's a good point. We get that money, and a lot of this money is not only filling in the gap on the state aid on a statewide level, but yes, our school districts spent a lot of money retrofitting and preparing for students coming and students and teachers and administrators and other staff coming into the buildings, and they've done a great job at it. Our viruses, the case level in school districts is much lower overall than the communities are living in, but that came with a huge price. I mean, on average in this state, it was $500,000 to reopen schools and purchase all the equipment, the staffing, the HVAC systems, the filters, all the things we needed. So it cost money, and you do bring up an important point also. If you remember last year when the pandemic hit, the final budget, there was a huge reduction in state aid and federal stimulus, the first package filled in for that. So school districts were planning last year before the budget vote in May, they were cutting important staff positions, support positions, reading teachers, whatever the positions, they were cutting costs significantly. So we have to get money to catch back up and get back to normal overall.
Controller DiNapoli just the other day set a relatively low tax cap for the next year. How does that factor into this dynamic?
Well, you know, schools are funded two ways, state aid and property taxes, and we have a tax cap of 2%. But the tax levy increase is 1.23%, well below the 2%. So therefore, schools are restricted to that amount to raise money taxing their properties in their district. So it puts more burden on the school district because aid varies depending on the school district you're in.
How optimistic are you that tier one of the governor's budget plan will be the actual budget plan? New York will get the money it's seeking. I mean, as people are trying to plan here, should they, you know, should districts be planning on being made whole, or do you think that this is time for austerity?
What I would say is this is a proposal by the governor. Obviously, the legislature has to take a crack at the budget and put forward their budget, and there's negotiations. I can't say I'm optimistic or pessimistic. We are at the beginning of this. Once again, it's a proposal. It would be great if we could get that $15 billion, but I can't predict anything, you know, in these uncertain times. So we're going to plan right now at the $6 billion. But once again, those plans are not etched in stone. Start planning, I should say, but we have to see where that final budget ends up on April 1st. So there's time to see, hopefully, increases. And hopefully we see the reaction from Washington, where they do get us the $15 billion, but I couldn't predict it. There's more. We can talk about this maybe in a month or so when we start seeing more concrete things.
Do you have any guess as to a date when schools would expect to be back to regular, full-time, in-person instruction, you know, assuming that most people have gotten the vaccine?
I have not heard anything. I hope we can do it by September. You know, if the vaccines keep coming online, they figure out how to get them into the system, the overall system, quicker. I don't think we'll see schools back full-time this year, just based on the volume of vaccines that have been delivered so far.
Okay, that's Bob Schneider, and he's with the New York State School Boards Association, the executive director. Thank you so much for taking this time for us.
Thanks, Ian. I appreciate it.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.